Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 10 as we continue our study through this book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 15. Romans 10, verses 11 through 15. As the Scripture says, everyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Father, I come to You this morning, Lord, and I just praise You so much that You love us enough that You did what You did for us. You took on all of our sins. You paid the ultimate price. And now, Lord, we can have freedom in You. Freedom to love and to give and to share and to go and to tell people the good news. Lord, it's the great news. It's the best news ever. And Lord, I don't know how we could not share that with other people. I pray, Father, You'll just continue to encourage us to be salt and light in a world that needs it. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to begin today by sharing with you something that is just I've needed to share specifically about. So I'm going to do that right now, and I hope you're okay with that. And if you're not, I'm sorry, but I'm going to share it anyway. For quite some time, there's been a lot of things continually spoken in a lot of Baptist churches, including this one. And it's based on a theory, an ideology, that it has no biblical merit. And unfortunately, it's been shoved down the throats of many people. And if you don't receive that ideology, then something's wrong with you. And that you don't see the things the way God sees them. Well, I can just tell you this, and I'm just being straightforward this morning. If you take what God's Word says by His Holy Spirit and live by that, it doesn't matter what man says. Period. Period. We choose to go by God's Word. Not by what men come up with, not by the philosophies of man. We go by what God's Word says. So because of that, this first paragraph, and then we're going to get right into the gospel today. It's interesting that many so-called scholars of Scripture adhere to a false gospel, which I believe to be heresy. I'm speaking specifically about Calvinism. The thought that there's presented is that God only loves those that He knows will accept His salvation. That He has chosen those that will be saved. The others are doomed to hell with no hope of redemption. Here's the problem with this false teaching. It's not biblical. When you have to twist the Scripture to fit into your ideology, then it's lost the value of truth. Here's the prime example. Verse 11 today. It says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. The Greek word for anyone is pas, which means all, everyone, the whole. Now John 2:2 says it like this, talking about Jesus. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of, say it together, the whole world. That's the Bible. That's what it says. If you go with anything else, you're going with something some man has come up with instead of what God has said. So I want it to be known today, Calvary Baptist Church in Craig, Colorado, believes the Bible. Not man's word, God's word. Okay, I got that out of my system. Good, I'm good. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at this morning. I want you to see, first of all, the promises of God's gospel. In verses 11 through 13, as the Scripture says, everyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of the rich of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here are the promises of the gospel. First of all, verse 11 says that, as Scripture says, everyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. When you trust in Jesus, you will never lose your salvation. You will never be put to shame. That's what being put to shame means. It means when you stand before God and He looks at you, He's either going to say, well done, enter into your kingdom that is prepared for you, or depart from me, I never knew you. Which would put you to shame? Depart from me, I never knew you. But anyone who believes on what the Scripture says and trusts in Him will never be put to shame. You won't be ashamed at all. In fact, if you turn back to Romans chapter 1 for just a moment and hear how Paul put it in verse 16 of chapter 1, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation of, what does it say? Everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. In other words, Paul says, I'm not going to be ashamed because I know who I believe. And I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed to him, unto him against that day. He is not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? By the way, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never be sorry. Now, I don't know what keeps some people from trusting Christ. I think they think that they're going to have to give up something that they really like. You may have to give up something that God, convicts you about. But the only reason that you'd ever have to do that is because God wants to replace it with something better. He always has something good in store for His children. Always. So there is no disappointment in the gospel. And by the way, there is no distraction either. Verse 12 says it like this, for there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all, and He richly blesses all who call on Him. In other words, Paul's saying, listen, let's get to the point here. This is not about Jews, and this is not about Gentiles. This is about people. This is about people. God doesn't love one race over another race. He simply chose to use the Jews as a way to get the word out to the world that He's God. And it worked. Because as the Jews followed God, God blessed them richly, and they became more powerful than any other nation. But it's not because their race is better than any other race. It's simply because God chose to use them to show people what He could do in someone who would trust Him. But He also used them to show what would happen if they didn't trust Him. Because there were times in the Jewish nation when they didn't trust God. They spent over 400 years in slavery in Egypt because they hadn't trusted God. God loves all people. He doesn't have favorites. He doesn't look down on this earth and go, man, I love the Jews and I'm kind of okay with everybody else. No, He loves every single person that's ever been born or ever will be born or even in the womb. He loves them because He knit them together by Himself. He loves all people. He didn't have favorites. The gospel, the good news, the great news is for everyone. That's what it says right here. Everyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 says, and this beautiful picture around the throne, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and every language and the people and nations. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Now this comes straight from heaven and straight from the Word of God. We cannot be disappointed by the gospel, and we do not need to be distracted by the fact that there are Jews and Gentiles. We need to remember that all people are loved by God. Well, it goes on in verse 13 to pick up on that about no denial. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. There will never be anybody who comes to the Lord and says, Lord, I want to give you my life. I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And He looks at them and says, no, wait a minute. You can't do that. You're not a Jew. Or you're not a selected person. Do you think that God would ever look at someone who would come to Him and say, Lord, I need You. I want You. I want Your forgiveness. I give You my life. Would He look at them and turn them away? No. That's not the God we will serve. He accepts everyone who will come by faith. And by the way, folks, it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what He did. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We've all messed up. By the way, we all will continue to do so. Hopefully not as many times and hopefully not as bad, but as God molds us more and more into His likeness. But you still struggle. But it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters who He is and what He did for us. No matter where you've been, you may think, oh, I've gone too far. I've made too many bad mistakes. There's no way God's grace could cover me. Let me tell you something, folks. God's grace is enough to cover all sin. That's what it says right here. Every sin. That's the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, this morning, the particularity of the gospel. Look at what verse 13 says. It says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But here's the deal. It says, everyone who will what? Who will call. In other words, salvation will not happen for every person on the earth. Why? Because there are some people who will not call on God. As much as you might share the gospel with them, as much as they might hear the good news, as much as they might know that God is who He says He is, they could still choose to not receive the gospel. And there will be many who choose not to accept the gospel of God, of the Lord. I don't know how somebody could know the truth completely and then choose not to, but there are people who do that. But all who do call on Him will be saved, period. No doubt. But all who won't will not be saved, no doubt. In fact, as Jesus was speaking to His disciples, He kind of laid out the picture for them. And He says, listen, there's going to be a day when all people will stand before Me. And there will be some on My right and some on My left. And I will say to those who have not chosen to follow Me, depart from Me. I never knew you. And at that point, they'll be cast into the pit of hell. He will look to the others and He'll say, welcome, My good and faithful. Enter in to the place that I've prepared for you. Listen, folks. The gospel is very particular about this. Some will be saved if they'll trust Jesus. Some will not be saved if they reject Him. It's the truth. My prayer is that everyone could come to know Jesus Christ. That somehow everyone could hear the gospel so that somehow the Holy Spirit could remind them of who He is. But there will be some, in fact there will be many, who choose to go their own way. Pride goes before the fall. But let me tell you this, folks. There is only one way to heaven. There's only one way. The other day I was traveling down, I think it was Rose Street, or the one on just this side of Rose Street. What's that called? I forget. But anyway, I was traveling down Rose Street to go to the intersection with Victory Way, and I pulled up to the stop sign by the Bank of the West, and I was looking down to the left, and there were no cars coming, and so I started to make a turn onto the street, and here comes a car right down my lane, coming the wrong way on a one-way. And I'm going like, wait a minute, hang on, this ain't right. There's only one way here. But that person didn't know it. Evidently, they're not from here, or I don't know, they can't read signs or whatever. But I mean, they were just barreling down the highway. And I looked, you know, I pulled out before a group of cars were coming this way. And I thought, man, he's going to... And I guess he realized, as he saw cars in all three lanes coming his direction, that this wasn't going to work. And he swiftly turned into the parking lot of the restaurant there. But I tell you, there's only one way, folks. There's not multiple ways to heaven. It's only through Jesus. He is the only way. He's not a way. He is the way. He is God's way. He is God's preparation and God's proclamation and God's preservation for His people. He's the only way. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." It's not through Buddha. It's not through Confucius. It's not through any religion. It's not through anything else. It's only through Jesus Christ. People need to know that, because they're so confused. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." He's the only one who can mediate between us and God. John 14:6. Everyone knows this. Let's read it out together. "Jesus answered, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" Paul, as he was writing this letter to the church at Rome, he was trying to tell them, listen, don't listen to all those other people who are coming into the church as they are over in Colossae, as they are over in Laodicea, and trying to confuse people with other doctrines that they've come up with on their own. I tell you what, folks, it says a whole lot about a person when they hear something that's not straight up with God's Word, and they say, no, that's not right. Because they know God's Word, and they know what God's Word says. But then there's others who are young in their belief or whatever, and they hear something and that sounds good to them, to their ears. And so they think, hey, maybe that's good too, or maybe that's something that God has said. Listen, folks, you know how you can tell the difference? Here it is. It's all right here. Everything that God wants to say is in His Word. He's not coming up with a bunch of new revelations. He's not coming up with other people speaking different truths. Listen, folks, it's God's Word and God's Word alone that we've got to be based on. Jesus is the only way. That's the particularity of the gospel. Now, let's look at verse 14, because it starts talking to us about the proclaiming of the gospel. Before we get into that, let me just ask you this question. If you proclaim something, what have you done? Huh? You've spoken something, or at least written something. You have made a proclamation that this is something that you believe. All right? With that in mind, look at verse 14. It says, "How then can they call on the one that they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And you might say, okay, so here it is. This is the preacher's job. Listen, folks, that word preaching doesn't mean a preacher. It means a bunch of preachers. Did you know that God has called you to preach the gospel? He has. Now, you might not stand up on a platform behind a pulpit and proclaim the good news once a week, or at least what God may not have called you to do that, but He has called every single believer to proclaim the gospel, to preach the good news. You see, folks, we all have this responsibility. He chose to use you. You see, when you chose Him for your salvation, He chooses them to use you as His ambassadors, to use you as someone He can speak through by His Holy Spirit, to use you as His mouthpiece for those who have not yet heard the gospel. We all have this responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 says it like this. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. And He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you, we beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Folks, God has chosen to use us as His mouthpieces. And if you think there's, you know, you just can't tell people about Jesus, listen, folks, you can't do it in your power period anyway. And it's usually because you're relying on your own power to do that. You can't. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells you that you can do the things that God has called you to do. Because why would God call you to do something you could do on your own? Doesn't make sense. He wants to empower you. But here's the deal. You've got to choose to let Him use you. You've got to open up the door of your life and say, Lord, here I am. You remember Isaiah? As he had that vision, and he saw the temple of God, and he saw the power of God, and he saw the angels covering their faces because they couldn't even look at God. And he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. But my eyes have seen the Lord. And the Lord says, well, who could I send? And who will go for me? Who's going to tell the people of Israel that I'm really real? And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me, Lord. You've made a difference in my life, and now I want to tell them about what You've done. We all have the responsibility if we know Jesus. And we all have the ability, by the way. And you might say, oh, now you don't know what I can do and what I can't do. Let me tell you this, according to God's Word, I do know what you can do. Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Do you see what the deal is there? It's not you doing anything. It is God working in you to do what He needs to do. To fulfill His good purpose. What is His good purpose? That people would hear the good news and respond to it. See, you might say, I don't know exactly how to talk to somebody about Jesus. I don't know exactly what to say to them. I don't know. You know, okay, good. All right, at least you've admitted that. But let me tell you something. Do you know how to pray to God? Do you know how to ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit? Do you know how to open yourself up to Him to say, Lord, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say to my friend, but I know I need to say something. So as I go to that person, I pray that You will speak through me. And you know what? He will. He is faithful if you will just ask. It's His good purpose that they hear the good news. He has entrusted us and He has enabled us to do His will. And He has called us. He's called you. You see, telling people about Jesus Christ is not just the church's purpose, which it is part of the church's purpose, but it's a part of every member of the body of Christ. A lot of people say, well, you know, there's some people that are really good at that, and I let them do that, and I just, you know, I serve at a banquet, and I do this or whatever. You know, hey, I understand there's different gifts that God gives us, but let me tell you something, folks. He's never gifted anybody to not tell people about Jesus. I mean, why would you tell somebody the greatest thing that ever happened to you? If you had cancer and God healed you, boy, you would tell everybody. Well, guess what? You had cancer. It was called sin. He healed you through Jesus Christ. Why don't you tell everybody? We all have the ability because He lives inside of us. The proclaiming of the gospel. The positivity of the gospel. Look at verse 15. And how can they preach unless they're sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let me tell you, folks, I'll say it again. It's not just good news, it's great news. It's the best news ever. The gospel of peace. You see, everybody's looking for peace in this world. They're looking for a place where they can feel okay. They're looking for a place where they're all right with themselves and with other people. They're looking for that. But the gospel of peace is this. When you turn your life over to Jesus Christ completely, take your hands off of it. That's the hardest part. But the reason you do that is you believe in Him as your Lord and Savior. Not only has He saved you from your sins, He's become your Lord. That means He's in charge and you're not. He's in charge and I'm not. And so I have to learn to take my hands off of my life and say, well, Lord, this is what I was going to do today. And He goes, well, wait a minute. I'm the Lord. Why don't you let me tell you what you're going to do today? Why don't you let me direct your path? Why don't you let me take you to the right place and say the right thing? Why don't you let me do that in your life? That's all I'm asking. God is saying, listen, let me be Lord in your life. Romans chapter 8. Verse 7 says, the mind governed by the flesh is typically hostile to God. Don't want to hear about Him. In fact, you probably tried to tell people that don't want to hear about God about Him. And basically they start out by saying, no, you know, that's okay for you, but I just don't want to hear about it right now. I don't want to hear about it. This flesh does not submit to God's law, nor can it even do so. You know why? Because our flesh is not built to submit itself to anyone. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We don't want to listen to somebody else's advice. We don't want all that. We just want to do what we want to do. That is, by the way, that should be the new motto of the United States of America. We just want to do what we want to do. Because basically that's what's happening. And guess what that's doing to our younger generation? They're growing up saying, hey, we don't have to listen to anybody, and we don't have to do what anybody says, and we don't have to listen to the law, and we can do whatever we want to do. And before long, there will be a generation running this country that's everything they think of. Unless we allow the gospel to be proclaimed and not hold it back. See, that's the positivity of the gospel. It's the gospel of peace. It's what will change everything. He will give real peace. Not just world peace that people are looking for where there's no wars going on. No. He will give real peace in the heart. Not only is it great news, it's the glad news. You remember, even back in the day, before Jesus was born, in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, and you'll hear this verse quite a bit coming up in the next couple of months. But listen to what the angel said to those shepherds that day. Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Listen, folks, Christ is the Lord. He's not just a man that people look up to and that some people bow down to. He's Lord. God took on flesh. Colossians says He's the visible image of the invisible God. That's who Jesus is. So that people could see and understand the Lord. Then look at verse 15 one more time as we talk about the power of the gospel. How can we preach unless we're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Are you a person who brings good news to people? Are you somebody that gives them hope? Are you somebody who comes alongside of them and tells them, hey, listen, you can have victory in your life. You can begin to live like God wants you to live. You can know that He has a purpose for you. You can know that there is value in your life. That's the great news. That no matter how bad you've been, and no matter how bad you've messed up, and no matter what you've done in your life, He wants to give you a new life. He wants to make you a brand new creation. He wants to make you victorious in your life. Because it won't be you anymore. It will be Him living through you. And so the Scripture says how beautiful that is. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, why the feet? Well, first of all, you think about your body. Feet aren't very, very good looking. They're not something you put out there in front of everybody all the time. In fact, we almost always keep them covered, especially if we live in Craig. In the winter, I haven't seen many people going barefoot in the snow, but probably are a few. But the feet are the things that we stand on. What do you stand on? What have you taken your stand on? Have you taken the stand on the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and you're going to trust Him for your whole life? That you believe the Bible is God's Word and that you're going to put His Word in your heart so you won't sin against Him and that you will listen to what He says to you each day as you feast on God's Word? What are we going to stand on? What are we going to run with? Our feet. We need to run to the battle. I love that passage in the Old Testament that talks about Jehoshaphat, and he stood up in the assemblies that day, and when they were all worried about this army that was coming against them, that there were so many of them they couldn't even be numbered, and he stood up and he said, listen, we're serving God here. It doesn't matter how many people they have in their army. It doesn't matter. What matters is who we're serving. And then there was a young man who stood up from a good family of praisers, by the way. And he began to praise God. And then everybody in the congregation, multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people began to praise the Lord. And then God spoke to Jehoshaphat. He says, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get your army in line. We're going to go out and face the battle. But before you send the army, you're going to send the choir. And the choir is going to go out singing praises to God, and as they praise God, I will do the battle for you. And so can you imagine what the people were singing that day? Here goes the choir, and if you were part of the choir, you're leading the way, and you're out in front, and you don't have any swords, and you don't have any spears, and you don't have any shields. All you're doing is praising God, and you're walking out in front of the rest of the group that's behind you. And they're all cheering you on, going, yeah, y'all are going to get it first. But, I mean, they're out there and they're praising God. And the Bible says as soon as they began to praise the Lord set up ambushes against the people they were about to battle. And He began to take care of each one of them. And the scripture says when they came up on the edge of the hill and they looked down and they saw nothing but dead people everywhere. Period. Wasn't anybody left. Guess what they had to do? They had to praise the Lord. There wasn't one of the guys with a sword in their hand that they even had to take it out of the sheath. Because God fought for them. What would happen, folks, if we would take a stand on our feet and begin to run with God and go and tell people about Jesus? Praising Him every step of the way. There are people everywhere in this town that need to hear about Jesus. They need to know that God loves them, that He cares about them, that He paid the ultimate price for them. That's the good news. That's the great news. But who will go? Who will tell? Who will share? God has called us. We must go. Let's pray. Dear Father, Your Word is clear. It's clear enough for each one of us to hear it. It's clear enough for each one of us to know what You called us to do. You've given us a commission. We are called to tell people about the good news, that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins on the cross, that His blood was enough, that it covered our sins, and that we could be made brand new and whole and clean and new. And Lord, we all understand that, but there are many who do not. And the only way they're going to hear it is if we tell it. So Lord, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that You will infill us to overflowing with Your Spirit. You will give us wisdom and understanding. You will give us the power by Your Holy Spirit and the courage to go and to tell people the best news ever, the greatest news ever proclaimed. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and no one will come to the Father except through Him. Lord, help us to do what You called us to do. Now, somebody might be listening today, here in this place or online or wherever you might be listening. You might say, well, I'm not sure I know who Jesus is. Let me simply tell you this. Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, is the visible image of the invisible God. He came as a sinless person, as God's replication of Himself so that we could see Him. And He lived a pure life here on this earth. He proclaimed good news. But He ultimately allowed Himself to be placed on the cross so that the sins of the whole world could be placed on Him. And then He died and shed His blood to cover those sins, to be the atonement for us. And if anyone will call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Will you call Him your Lord today? That means you give your life over to Him. You trust what He did for you. You believe that He died for you, that He paid the price, and that He rose again over death. And you say, Pastor Rod, that's what I want to do today. So I want to give my life to Christ. I want Him to be my Lord. You can do that wherever you are right now by simply praying something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe when You died on the cross, You died for my sins, and that Your blood covered my sins. And so now, Lord, I give You my life. I ask You to forgive me, to make me a new person, and to begin to use me to tell other people about the greatest news ever. Lord, I trust You today by faith that what You did was for me. And I choose You as my Savior and my Lord. If you would pray a prayer, something like that, I know the Lord would hear you, and He will certainly save you according to His Word. But just know this, He's not just saving you so that you can have eternal life. He's saving you so that you can tell other people that they can have eternal life. We're going to have a time of invitation in just a moment. I'll be down front. If anyone wants to come and give their life to Christ, I'll certainly help you. If you'd rather step out back in the foyer, Robbie's back there, and he would love to lead you to the Lord. Maybe you're looking for a church home and you feel like this is a place that God has led you. We'd love to have you, but the fact is that we're not just looking for church members. We're looking for people who will come alongside of us and tell people about Jesus. Whatever it is that God is speaking to your heart this morning, we're going to stand, we're going to begin to sing this hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, would you come?